Good morning. My name is Joe Vandal, and welcome to Deadly Days, Tales of Dark Fantasy. I see I got a little sunlight kind of shining in, but I'm going to kind of continue doing this. Today we're doing episode number 46, and today's episode is really kind of special. Well, it is special. I recently translated the first two issues of Simplicissimus magazine, which actually is a world-renowned literary magazine that really was known for high-quality literature, it and Jugend, which was its competitor. Well, I just posted that magazine that I'm doing as an e-zine, and it's from issue number 2, and it's actually called The Poem, but it's not a poem, it's a story about a poem, and it's actually, if you can see the cover picture, volume 1, that's the story that we're going to be talking about today. But first, a little bit about what I do. I translate stories, and I publish those stories the best I can. Okay, I'm kind of looking at trying to get everything going here. So, I publish the stories, and obviously I do this podcast. Well, this story's probably not going to be that long. That's why I'm kind of rambling a little bit. But I've also got some news. I just finished, or am finishing, putting the touches on my online bookstore. So if you want to see some of my books, to read them, to buy them, that kind of stuff, or see what I'm up to, check out my bookstore, bandelbooks.com, B-A-N-D-E-L, books.com. Bandel, like a rock and roll band with an E-L on the end of it. Now, each week I put out a new story, and this I draw these stories mostly from, I had been drawing from 4 sources. I draw from stories I've translated from Hans Heinz Ewers, Karl Hans Strobel, stories from Der Orchideengarten, which is the world's first illustrated fantasy magazine, and also from the magazine Cocaine, which just had a few issues, and I translated that for Side Reel Press of England. Recently, actually one we did here was from Leonard Stein, and I'm currently working on a collection of his short stories. That's why I posted that one, to kind of mix it up. Well, today is actually adding it a little more, because this, like I said, is going to be the story from Simplicissimus. Now, I encourage people to check out Simplicissimus. You can do that by going to my Patreon page, which is patreon.com/anarchistbanjo. And I've got lots of, there's ways, it or go to bandlebooks.com and it'll find a link to take you there as well. I'm trying to get everything tied in so that it's all interacted with each other. But anyway, I am translating these stories for Simplicissimus and Jugend, and the first five issues of both of them are going to be free. So check them out. See if you like them or not. I'm looking for people that are willing to support me and support what I do on my Patreon account. That's what this is about. After the first five issues of both of those magazines, every other issue is going to be free as well. So there will be a continuing supply of free magazine e-zines, translations of these famous magazines to watch. But there's also, as a patron, there are other advantages too besides helping me out. And if you go to that page, you can check that out. Anyway, on to poem. Far around on the rooftops lay that infinite silence which is so shatteringly eerie because it can also be loud, because it is nothing other than a powerful sleeping sound. From the leaden haze that lingered far away on the horizon above the sea of houses, the disk of the moon emerged deep red, as if emerging from an unknown sea of blood. Slowly and solemnly it swam out into the sky. Gradually, its light became paler and softer, flooding the roofs, casting eerie, large shadows from its path. And it also penetrated through the windows into the dark rooms at night. In one of them, it fell onto the white linen of a bed. There it found two slender arms lying motionless, as if dead, on the covers. It flitted away over the small soft hands, up the arms, the sound of which now fell from the sheets like a breath, like a dust. At the top it found a girl's head made of long brown hair from which oversized dark eyes stared up at the ceiling. The little moonbeams tasted their way into the hair, lightly and softly brushing the cheeks and shoulders. But motionless, as if dead, the large open eyes stared up at the ceiling. The moonlight had now spread over the whole room, scattering a yellowish, pale, trembling dust from everything, which soon hovered over everything like the air from a fairy tale. A door in the far corner of the room opened very slowly and carefully. The light fell on a slender figure, who now asked in a low voice, "Lisa, are you asleep?" "No, Erwin." He approached quietly and stepped up to the bed. "I want to say good night to you, sister." "Where have you been all afternoon?" "Oh, I went for a wonderful walk by the sea. That's why I didn't have time to eat. But how is your chest? Have you been coughing a lot?" "No, Erwin." "Do you want to get better from me, you naughty little sister?" He gently grabbed her hand. She looked up at him and smiled. "But I brought you something, sister of yours." "No. I brought you your eyes." He went back to his room. She straightened up a little and looked after him. After a while, he came back with two large, dark chalice flowers in his hand. She took them, and then she took his face with her small little hand and stroked his cheek softly. And suddenly she looked at him with that look in which, deep inside, the soul flushed. And it was as if he cringed. He knelt by the bed and laid his head on her hand. Sisters are sacred. She played lightly and tentatively with her fingers over his hair. She looked up at the ceiling again, but an infinitely tender, fine smile nestled on her lips. Sister, now you're smiling. And she already knew that he had felt it for a long time, this blissful, soft smile. Then it was silent. Do you hear the night humming, Lisa? And now he spoke into the pillows in a soft, gentle voice. You must not get sicker, Lisa. You must not die. You must always, always stay with me. You, my sister. I love you like the sea. Today I made a poem out there for you and me. The sun and the sea love each other. And when they both go to sleep, the sun slowly bends down and kisses the sea's forehead with gentle lips, so secretly hot, so sacredly soft. The sun and the sea love each other. She grasped his head with both hands and pulled it up in front of her face. I love the sun childishly and adoringly. Then she kissed him on the lips. And now they both went to sleep. He got up, ran his hand lightly over her hair once more. Farewell, you wonderful one. Then he went to his room. She listened to him, laid her head back on the pillows and closed her eyes. It was quiet again. But suddenly, thick, agonizing drops of tears poured out from under the long, heavy lashes of her closed eyes. They sank, glistening, from the long silk eyelashes down to her cheeks, and from there trickled down to her brown hair. They became heavier, larger, and rolled down like roses shaken in the early morning. Slowly the girl slipped out from under the blankets and walked to the window. Far up, she put her hand on the window frame and leaned her head on her arm. Outside, the moon floated silently and lonely in the dark sea of sky. Was it sick too? As sick and pale as she was? And inside, her brother, who had no idea that she would soon sink down with her like the two sisters he had brought her. And again the tears welled up in her large eyes and dripped down heavily. Then she stared at the moon. Her breath became shorter and shorter. Her eyes enlarged, stretched her white, delicate arms toward the flooding light. A transfigured smile came to her lips. She stretched her arms out further. The robe came off her shoulders and sank down. The delicate, pure body stood there in the moonlight like a white lily. Her lips murmured soft, soft words, and she stretched herself as if she wanted to wriggle up, to push herself up towards that great lonely light. Then a cold draft blew in at the window. She flinched, picked up her robe from the floor and went to the bed, sobbing like a child. She pulled the blanket up over her shoulders and wrapped herself tightly in it and was soon asleep. In the room, the pale light wove kindly with a groping hand. But from outside, from the stairs, it suddenly sounded as if heavy, bony feet were slowly clattering up the steps. Tap, tap, tap. town. Farewell, you wonderful one. By Ernst Hart. And that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed that story, and I hope you get to see the picture on the front of Simplicissimus magazine, issue number 2. Anyway, till next week.